Today's daf is Lamed Hey. We are going to start at the very, very bottom of Lamed Dalet Amud Bet. If you recall, we were in the Mishnah that talked about all the different texts in the Torah that need to be said and whether they need to be said in Hebrew or they can be said in any language. And from there, one of the things they talked about was when the Jews came in, when they crossed the Yarden and they came into Eretz Israel, then they needed to do this ceremony on the Har Eival and Har Gerizim with the Brachot and Klalot. And from there, we got off on all sorts of tangents about when they crossed the Yarden, getting into the land, and from there we jumped to the spies, the way back. So we're still in the story of the spies. We're going to finish up that today, and then we're going to move on to other things. You'll see, we keep getting off on tangents. Vayashuvu mitur haaretz. Okay, this is when the miraglim, the spies, they come back from spying on the land. It says, vayachu vayavo. Okay, so now it actually says, one second, this is, if you look in the Psukim, there's Vayachu, it says in Pasuk Kavav, okay, Kavhe is Vayashuvu mitor haaretz miketz arba'im yom, they came back after the 40 days, and then it says Vayachu vayavo el Moshe ve'el Aharon. Okay, so then it says vayachu vayavo. This seems to be unnecessary, right? It should just be vayachu or vayavo, not both of them. It doesn't mean they went and they came. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Okay, so obviously they're going to darshan this. Makish halicha lebi'ah. We're going to make a comparison between the going and the coming. Okay, ma bi'ah be'etzara'ah, av halicha be'etzara'ah. Just like when they came back from the mission, they had bad intents in their mind to basically badmouth Israel and say, we're not going to be able to conquer it. Af halicha be'etzara'a. Likewise, when they, now this is a machloket, how to understand it, but either when they first went out to spy, they already had bad intentions. Some people say, no, it's not at that point. It's late, like once they went to this Nachal Eshkol where they took the big fruits from, that's at some earlier point. In other words, it's whether from the very beginning or at some point in the middle of the mission, they already, everything turned bad. So it's unclear how to read this. Vayistapru lo vayomru, banu v'chulei. Okay, so now they start to, okay, if you want to read in the psukim, there's Tanachim out, if you want to open it up. So if you look, it says, right, they come to Moshe and Aaron, ve'el kol adap b'nei Israel, to everybody. Okay, by Yeshivu Otam Davar, and they bring back information. And they show them the fruits of the land. Okay, and then they say, Vayisapru lo vayomru. So now they tell them, Banu ela aretz asher shelachtanu v'gam zabat chalav udvashi. Okay, the first thing they say is something positive, right? They say, we came to the land that you sent to us, and it's a land flowing with milk and honey. V'zeh priya, and here are the fruits. Efes ki az ha'am ha'yoshev ba'aretz. Okay, if you want to open the Tanachim, I'm just reading the psukim inside. So, efes ki az ha'am ha'yoshev ba'aretz, which means, right, we're in Perek Yudgimel Pasuk Kavchet. Okay, meaning the nation is very strong, they're a very stubborn nation. V'ha'arim b'tzurot g'dolot ma'od, and the cities are very strongly fortified. V'gam yaldei ha'anak ra'inu sham, which we proved yesterday that really only they hadn't seen it, only Kalev had seen it, and here they are, that this is one of the sources to what they say when they lied. Okay, we're going to see later that they lied, that possibly this is the lie, because they never really saw the B'nei Ha'anak, the Yilidei Ha'anak. Okay, so then they go on, Amalek HaYoshev Eretz HaNegev, and then all these people are there, and they talk about all the enemies. Okay, so now, why did they start with this line, it's a lamb flowing of milk and honey? It sounds very positive, right? It's not what you would have expected. So what do they tell you here in the Pesukim? So, Vayimru Banu V'chuleh, that's the Eretz Zabat Chalav U'Dvash. It doesn't give the key words in the Gemara here. They just figure you know the rest of the words, but that's the important part here. And then it says, Efes ki aza'am, the nation's very strong, and they're gonna, you know, we're not gonna make it against them. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir, you probably heard this one before. Kol lashon hara she'ein bo dvar emet b'tchilato, ein mitkayem b'sofo. You have to put a little bit of truth in your words if you're gonna lie, because otherwise no one will believe you. So if you wanna say lashon hara, first speak truth. Here they mean Lashon Hara in the sense of a lie. Right? Lashon Hara could be truth also, but they're saying if you want to say something bad that's not true, so first start with some truth, and then you can add your lie, and then people will believe you. Okay, now we're going to see Vayahas Kalev et ha'am el Moshe. So now there's this strange sentence. The next pasuk is, pasuk lamed, Vayahas Kalev et ha'am al Moshe. Okay, he silenced them. Okay, how did they translate Vayahas?
Quieted.
Right, okay, he quieted the nation. El Moshe. This El Moshe doesn't make so much sense. What's it doing there? Vayomer, and what does he say to them? Alona alevi arashnu ota ki achol nuchala. Okay, we're going to go up here. It's a double lashon. We'll see. We're going to darshan it in a minute. Okay, we can go up alona ale, and we can conquer it because we're capable. There's a few problems with this pasuk. First of all, what's the El Moshe doing there? What else is missing in this pasuk? Where's his partner, Yoshua? Remember, I told you that you could read this story and you could see that Caleb and Yoshua aren't always together. So here, Yoshua is blatantly missing. So now we're going to see what they darshan from this. Amar Rava, shehi sitan bidvarim. What does it mean, vayahas? So vayahas means he quieted, but it also means he pushed them off of the way, meaning he kind of tricked them, okay? The same way the miraglim trick people into believing them by giving truth, now he tricks people the other way. We're going to see in a minute. Now why? What's the issue? Patach Yoshua, the kamishtai. Okay, Yoshua first started. Amre le den rosh ktia yimalel. This cut off head, this guy who has a cut off head is going to speak. In other words, what happened? Yoshua's missing, but he's not really missing. What happened? He got up to speak, and they wouldn't accept him at all. Now why? They said he's rosh ktia. What's rosh ktia? Okay, so most of the refreshim explained he didn't have children. Okay, and that apparently Yoshua didn't have children until he got to the land of Israel. And they said, well, he doesn't have children. So now there's all different interpretations. What's the relevance? Right? So some of them say, well, he doesn't have as much invested in this, right? It's just him. We all know we have families, right? You're much more worried about things when you have a family to worry about. And they say, he had nothing to lose. He had no kids. So he had nothing to lose. And that's why he was willing to say, let's go conquer. Okay. Other people said that he just wants to get into the land because we've learned before that there's the 10 years of waiting to have children, if you're not in Eretz Yisrael, right, it's different, that the Zchut of Eretz Yisrael is supposed to bring you kids, and that's his motivation. He wants to have kids, he wants to get to Eretz Yisrael. So in any case, whatever it is, or they just looked at him, he doesn't have kids, this happens in the world in general. You go to get a job, sometimes if you don't have children, depending on what job you're looking for, people look at you a little bit differently. Certainly if you're in the Jewish world or rabbinics or something like that, there's sometimes a certain stigma attached to someone who doesn't have children, so maybe they just didn't have enough respect for him. So what happened? Yoshua gets up to speak, and they knock him down. So Kaleb was smart. Amar, he says, Imishtiin, if I start to talk, Amri be'milta v'chasminli. They're going to say something against me and shut me up, and they're not going to listen. Amar lahem, so now they add, what is this? Vayahas Kaleb et'am el Moshe. What did he do? He says, V'chizo bilvada salanu ben Amram. Okay? He says this, ambiguous statement, which could be understood, especially in the context of what was going on, it sounds like he's about to badmouth Moshe. What, is this the only thing Moshe did for us? Okay? It sounds like he's going to badmouth us, so the people are all listening. They want to hear what he has to say.
And they're also, he's also not saying his name, which is sort of a...
Right. So because he says Ben Amram, it sounds like he's putting down Moshe. Exactly. It's less respectful. So Savre, they thought, Bikinute Kamishtai. He was going to say something bad. So Ishtiku, so they were quiet and went to listen. Amar lehu, hotziani mi mitzrayim bekaralanu atayam ve'achilanu ataman. Right? So now he starts to say all the amazing things that Moshe has done for us. He took us out of Egypt. He split the sea. He gave us the man. Im yomar asu shulamo v'alu l'rakia lo nishmalo. If he were to tell us, go build ladders and go up to the skies, we wouldn't listen to him. This is, by the way, a very interesting thing. Why is he saying that? Sounds like... What does it sound like? Migdal Bavel. Actually, Seth spoke in Shul the Shabbos, Dafka, about the comparison between Migdal Bavel and Sulam Yaakov. And this is the line that really connects them, right? That if we made a Sulam that went up to Shamayim, which, it's, what's the idea? He's almost getting at the idea of you think you're so great and you can play God and you know better than God, right? That's the whole idea of going up. But he's using it in a positive, but using an image that's obviously a negative image of we cannot go up to the skies and do it. But he's saying if Moshe were to tell you that, you wouldn't do it. Moshe's such a great, right? He can make anything happen. And therefore, alona alevi arashnu ota. And the Mefreshim seem to explain that they're darshaning the double language of the alona ale. In other words, if we would go up to Shamayim, we would do it. So therefore, we're going to now ole to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Vanashim asher alu imo. But now, what happens? The people that were with him said, right, these are the pasuk, this is the next pasuk. Shim asher alu imo amru, lo nuchal la'alot el ha'am, ki chazak hu mimenu. Okay, so now, Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, davar gadol debru meraglim bo tasha. This was like the real thing that they said. What is it? Ki chazak hu mimenu. Now, what is mimenu? Mimenu is a very strange word in Hebrew language. Why? What does mimenu mean? It means from him, or it means from them. There's no difference between the plural and the singular. It's very strange. Everything always has a difference. There's no difference. So now they're going to darshan it. What did it sound like? Ki chazaku mimenu. How would you translate that pasuk? They're stronger than us, right? Okay, but what did he really mean? Al tikrei mimenu, right? Usually an al tikrei means don't read it like this, but read it like that. Here they're saying don't understand it like this, understand it like that. In other words, it's the same exact word. But it means don't read it as mimenu from us. Ela mimenu, kivyachol afilu bala bayit eno yachol lehotzi keilav misham. That's who was it turned against? God. They're stronger than God. That if God had left his kelim, his stuff in there, he'd never be able to get them out. Okay, that's how strong they are. Even God himself. And that's why they're saying it was so much worse what they said than what it sounds like, because it's not just we can't do it, even God can't do it. Eretz ochelet yoshvehahi. This is a very famous, I'm sure you all know this, right? That it's a land that eats its inhabitants. Why did they say it? They eat their inhabitants? Because what happened? Remember this? When they got there, everyone was dying. They were constantly busy with burying their people. Why was that? Do you remember? We'll read it inside. Darash Rava, here's where it comes from. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ani chashavtia l'tova, behem chashvu l'ra'a. I was trying to do something good for them, and they turned it and twisted it into something bad. Why? Ani chashavtia l'tova, t'kol hecha dematu meit chashiv adidhu. Everywhere they went, some important person died. Ki hecha dinitridu v'lo lishalu abatrayu. I was trying to distract them, right? So someone important would die, and everybody would be busy with them, and no one would pay attention that there were these spies wandering in the land. Nobody would start asking them questions. V'ika da'amri, some people say it wasn't that it's Eresos Chalat Yoshveh, that everybody was dying, but it was one person who died. And that one person had was such a great person that it had effects everywhere, and everybody was affected by it. You can close. Oh, okay. So who's the one person? Who could it possibly be? Who's the one important character that we don't know so much about? That about where he lived and when he lived? Eov. Okay? Ika de Amri, Eov nach nafshe. V'itridu kule alma behespeda. Okay? The Eov is the one who died. There's a whole Gemara in Baba Batra, we'll get there, that no one knows really when Eov lived, okay? Whether he lived in the time of Moshe, whether he lived in the time of Yaakov, whether he lived later in the time of Ahasuerus. There's a lot of different interpretations as to when he lived. Nobody really knows, right? Because we have a whole book about him, but there's no historical context whatsoever. And one opinion obviously says that Eov lo haya v'lo nivra, okay? He didn't exist. He's a fictional character. So there's all different interpretations as to who he was. This one says that this goes with the one that says he was Bimei Meraglim, okay? And that he Dafka died then. And why? Because he's the one person who had who was such a leader, an important person, that everybody was busy dealing with his burial. So the whole country was busy with that, and therefore nobody noticed the spies. So Hem Chashavo L'Ra'a, what'd they say? Eretz Ochelet Yoshvei, right? They thought, oh, look, everybody's dying all the time, or important people are dying, or everybody's just busy with burial and hespedim. Okay. V'nehi be'einenu k'chagavim. Okay, now what does the pasuk say? Right? V'nehi be'einenu k'chagavim. We, in our eyes, we were like little grasshoppers compared to them. V'chein hayinu be'einehem. And that's the way they perceived us. Okay, first of all, this a little bit contradicts the earlier part because nobody was even noticing them, right?
That's so now the Gemara same thing is you don't notice something small and insignificant. They didn't notice us at all, therefore we must have been unimportant.
Ah, and you're really saying they didn't notice us, right? Except if we say that they didn't notice them because they were busy dealing with Hespedim, then it's a little tricky. Anyway, they're going to connect it a little bit. So, b'chenayinu b'enehem, and there's another problem. What's the problem? How did they know how the people perceive them, right? They can't possibly know that. So that's the first problem. Amarav Misharshia, Miraglim Shakre Havu. They were liars. So why? Bishlama, it makes sense to say Vanehi Be'enenu K'chagavim. We understand. We perceive that we seem to be grasshoppers compared to them. That makes sense. Ela v'chein hayinu be'enehen menah havayadeh. Right? How could they possibly know that that's how they perceived us? Velohi, but they say no. Actually, it's not true. They could have. Ki havu mivare avele tute arze. Remember, there's when avelim have a sudat havra'a. So mivare comes from that lashon. When the people living in the land had their sudat havra'a, okay, mivare avele, they had their havra'a for the avelim. Where did they do it? Tute is tachat arze. They did it under the erez tree. Habu Mivari. That's where they did it. Bechi chazinhu, and when the Meraglim saw them, salku yatve bi'ilane. They ran up the tree. Okay, they stood in the right. They climbed up into the tree to hide from them. Shame de ka'amre. So then, now obviously, right? You always see the birds always hear things because they're sitting in the tree, right? That's the image here. So they're sitting in the trees, and what do they hear? The people below saying, kachazina inche de damu lekamse bi'ilane. We see people that appear to us like grasshoppers in the tree. Next one, next pasuk. Vatisa kol aida v'yitnu kolam v'yifku. Right, this is when the people start crying, and this also, I assume you know. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, oto hayom erev Tisha B'Av haya. Okay, it was the night of Tisha B'Av. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, heim bachu b'chiya shachinam, v'ani ekba lehem b'chiya ledorot. Right, they cried a cry that was for no reason. I'm going to give them a reason to cry. V'yomru kol aida l'rgom otam b'avanim. Okay, now what's the next? Okay, so they cry. It says, Vayilon Moshe, they skipped a few psukim here. And then it says, where is it? It's the last pasuk in the parsha. Okay, pasuk yud in Perek Yud Dalet. Vayomru kol ha'edah lirgom otam ba'avanim. Now pay close attention. The next words are, Ukvod Hashem nir'ah ba'ol mo'ed al kol b'nei Yisrael. So what do they say here? They wanted to stone them. Uktiv ukvod Hashem nir'ah ba'ol mo'ed. So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba milamed shenitalo avanim natlu avanim v'zarkum klapei mala. Because the word lirgom otam ba'avanim is connected with ukvod Hashem, even though we don't punctuate the pasuk that way, but the kvod Hashem is right next to lirgom otam ba'avanim. They're saying they basically wanted to stone God. What these midrashim are doing is, if you notice, just like the mimenu, they're taking it as the Meraglim really are against Moshe and Aaron and Yoshua and Kalev, but they're throwing it onto that it was really against God. Okay, that's, you know, it was worse than it seems. Vayamutu ha'anashim motzei dibat ha'aretz ra'a b'magefa. Okay, here it says instead of b'magefa, it says b'magefa. Okay, this is in Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Okay, this is later, right? This is after, then there's the whole thing about, you know, where Slachna, where Moshe begs for forgiveness. Anyway, it says all the people who said the bad things died in a magefa. But instead of saying bi magefa, it says ba magefa. Ba magefa is like hey yidia, like the magefa. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. We learn from here shemetu mitamishuna. They died a very strange death. What was this strange death? Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. This goes back, by the way, to things we learned earlier in Sota. Mida keneged mida. Right? When you do something wrong, you get punished exactly the way, according to what you did. So what was their punishment? Remember, what did they do wrong? With their speech, with their tongues. Tarash Rabbi Shila Ishkvar Tamrata, milamed shenishtarvev lishonam v'nafal al tiburam. Okay, their tongues stretched out and fell onto their navels. V'hayu tola'im yotzot milishonam v'nechnesot b'tiburam. Okay. I read an interpretation that tabor, right, the navel, they call Eretz Yisrael the tabor ha'aretz. So it was a connection between the lashon and the tabor that they spoke about. Okay, so therefore the tola'im, the worms were coming out of their tongues into their navel, umitiburam v'nechnesot b'lashonam, and they would go the reverse. Very unpleasant. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar v'aschara metu. Okay, it was diphtheria, which is it basically chokes you. You choke eventually. So also with their mouths. Okay, now finished Meraglim. Now we're going back to, what do you want to ask?
Is it a kriya k'tiv? Because how do they know whether it's b'magefa or b'magefa? There's no...
Well, it's the mesoret they had of what the...
They just knew how...
Yeah, it's the mesoret of how it's pronounced, right? By us it appears b'magefa, right? In the Tanakh, that's how it appears. So that the nikud is all a mesoret. Now, we don't know from the Torah itself. It's obviously not minukad, but all of that is mesoret. V'kevan she'alah ha'acharon she'b'Yisrael min ha'Yarden. Okay, we're going back to the splitting of the Jordan River. So now the last one comes out of Yisrael from the Yarden. Chazru mayim limkomam. The water goes back to its place. She'ne'emar v'yihi ba'alot ha'kohanim nosei aron b'rit Hashem mitoch ha'Yarden. Nitku kapot raglei ha'kohanim al ha'charava. V'yashuvu me'ha'Yarden limkomam. V'yolchu kitmol shoshom al kovdotav. Okay, so now what happens? So when the Kohanim come out of the Yarden, as soon as their feet hit the ground, right, what happens? The waters go back. So now we're going to see.
Makes sense because if you said yesterday that they were going across in this exact formation that they were in.
So why are the Kohanim?
Because there are people behind them.
There are still people.
So the assumption is they went like they camped, but the Kohanim were always there the whole time. The Kohanim went first and the Kohanim stayed until the end. Other than that, the formation went, but not the Kohanim themselves. So the Kohanim waited to the very end. Now we're going to see. Okay, imagine, right? This is the Yarden. They walk through. Okay, they get to the other side. The Kohanim are still in the water. The Kohanim now go out the other side. Okay, they go back, which seems very strange, right? How are they going to get across? So, more miracles. You ready? Okay. Which is going to lead us to a whole new thing. Okay? Always surprises here. So now it says, "Vayeshuvu me'Yarden l'koma v'yatvukochu." Okay, I'll poke it off. Nimtza Aron v'nosa v'kohanim mitzad echad v'Yisrael mitzad echad. Okay, so now they're on opposite sides of the river. Nasa Aron et nosa v'avar. Now the Aron becomes a raft, and it carries across miraculously. Right, again, it wasn't enough miracle that the Jordan split. Now they get carried on the Aron across the Jordan. Shenemar vayhi kasher tam kol ha'am la'avor. Here you see it from the pasuk. After the whole nation went, vayavor aron Hashem v'kohanim lifnei ha'am. Okay, that's what they're darshaning. That after everybody finished, then the Aron passed through. What does it mean pass through? Right, it floated with the Kohanim on it. Okay, that's the assumption of how they darshan this. Now we're jumping to something else. So if the Aron is so miraculous, what is this going to reference? All the stories in Sefer Shmuel about the Aron. If you remember, the Aron gets taken to captivity and then it kills all the people, right? It has these very dangerous effects until David finally brings it back. And then when he brings it back, there's this whole problem with Uzzah. Do you remember they were carrying it? And then we'll see in a minute what exactly happens. And Uzzah dies there on the spot. So we're going to talk about that. And this is what Uzzah got punished for. Why? Because really, what's the story? The Aron, what you see from here, that the Aron is miraculous. And the Aron, which fits in with these other stories we saw in Yoma about the Aron, and you know, and Yoshiyahu eventually is gonez the Aron. You remember, he hides it. And we saw a whole bunch of stories about the power of the Aron. Again, this all connects with these miracle stories that we have in our tradition that are all connecting in this Masechet. So what happened here? Shenemar vayavo ad goren kidon vayishlach Uzza et yado leechozet ha'aron. Okay, we're missing the end words of this pasuk, which are very critical. Okay, so what happens? He goes to get yado to catch the aron kishamtu abakar. Right, the animals are taking it and they start to fall. It's like to buckle, and he's worried that the aron is going to fall. So he puts his hand out to catch the aron. Sounds like a good thing, right? But what did he forget? He forgot that the Aron was able to float in the water and carry the Kohanim across. So obviously it's not going to fall. You know, just because the Bakar are wavering a little bit on their feet, nothing's going to happen to the Aron. So that's the assumption here. Amar lo kadosh baruch hu, Uzzah, nosav nasa, it carried it, the people who carried it. Atzmo lo kol shekein, you think it can't carry itself? It can't support itself? Vayichar af Hashem b'Uzza vayakeu sham al hashal. Okay, so the pasuk is a strange one. It says Hashem gets very angry at Uzza. That makes sense. But vayakeu sham al hashal. Okay, shal seems to be on the mistake he made. We have two drashot on this shal. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Chan amar aliskei shal. I forget how they pronounce this. Aliskei shalu. Right, how did they translate that? 1 second. Aliskei shalu, which means aliskei shkaga. In other words, he made a mistake, that he forgot Right? What shkagah? You forget. He forgot that the Aaron had these powers. So that's the first interpretation, which matches what we said. V'chan amar sh'asat zrachav b'fanav. One said that he actually urinated in front of the Aaron. Okay, which is a very difficult interpretation, and how it really doesn't connect with the next line we're going to see. Vayamat sham im Aaron Elohim. So then what does it say about Uzzah? He dies, very interestingly, with the Aaron Elohim. It's a very strange, right? It almost sounds like it's a positive thing, right? He dies together with the Aaron. So they're going to darshan this in a positive way. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Uzzah ba la'olam haba. Shenemar im Aaron Elohim. Ma Aaron la'olam kayam. And this has to do with the fact that Yoshiyahu was nignat, right? He was gonez, the Aaron is always going to be there. Af Uzzah ba la'olam haba. Okay, so even though he did something wrong and he died ba'olam hazeh, because he had good intentions also, right, and he was trying to protect it, he also got the zchut to go to Olam Haba. Okay, which obviously wouldn't really work so well with the interpretation that he urinated in front of it and that that was, you know, the unpleasant. Okay, next pasuk. Vayichar le David al asher paratz Hashem peretz be'uza. David is now, what's vayichar? Right, usually it means anger. He got angry. Okay, but what's missing here? Usually when we see anger, what does it say? Vayichar af. And this doesn't have vayichar af, it just says vayichar. So why is the af missing? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, shenishtanu panav kecharara. Okay, his face blackened like a charara. Okay, a charara is like a type of, I think it's a cake or a
biscuit.
What?
Biscuit.
What does it say? A biscuit. Okay. It's some biscuit that they cook on the coals and it turns black. Okay, so his face blackened, that's what it means. Okay, as opposed to him getting angry, it means his face blackened. So then they say, like he was, I guess from embarrassment, right? But Yechar Melashon, what? Anguish?
Upset.
Right. He was upset about it. Okay? He got upset, more so than angry. Why did they say this? Because otherwise it looks like David is getting angry at God. Right? We don't want to have a pasuk that says that. So they're saying, it's not that he got angry at God. It doesn't say at God, but it says that God did this, right? So more like he was upset, they try to say. So then they say, wait, Elamayata kolecha d'chtiv b'yichar hachanami? Is that true? Hatam k'tiv af, hacha lo k'tiv af. Okay, so that's what they say. Because when it says af, it means anger. When it doesn't say af, it means something else. Darash Rava, mipnei ma ne'anash David. What was David punished for? Shekara ledivrei Torah zmirot. Okay, so now David was punished because he called divrei Torah zmirot. Okay, where do we see this? Just one second. Right, so now we're saying that basically David was partially responsible for the fact that Uzzah did this. So they're saying, what was David's, like, how was he somewhat responsible? Because he called Divrei Torah Zmirot. This is an interesting thing, okay? Shenemar, Zmirot hayuli chukecha bevet migurai. Okay, this is from Tehillim, which we generally attribute to David. And it's saying, your chukim were to me like Zmirot. Now, that could be a positive thing, but here we're saying it's a negative thing because he turned it into song and he didn't realize how seriously you're supposed to take them because song we generally take less seriously. And the chukim you have to take very seriously. Amar lo kadosh baruch hu, divrei Torah shekatuv bahem, hata'if einecha bo ve'einenu. Ata korei otam zmirot. What do we know about the Torah? That if you move your eye away from it for a second, you're going to lose it. Okay? If you don't keep total focus, you're going to totally miss it. So therefore, you're calling them zmirot. Hareini machshelcha v'davar she'afilu tinokot shel beit rabban yodin. Okay, now that you're messing up on something that even the little kids in the, you know, we're learning Torah know. Dichtiv ulivnei ka lo natan ki avodata kodesh. Viyu atya be'agalata. What did David do wrong? He put it on an agala. And didn't he know that the b'nei korach, the b'nei kahat, are supposed to carry the aron? It's not supposed to be brought in on an agala. It's supposed to be carried by the people. And he messed up by bringing on an agala, and that's what caused the whole problem. Okay, now some people say, what did David think? He didn't know the Torah? The Torah says that the B'nai Ka carry it. How, right? So you could say that he thought that was in the desert, that that was the way it was supposed to be. He didn't necessarily know that that was the way it was supposed to be done at a later point in time. Okay? Because really, in the Sukkim, they're really talking about in the Midbar, in the desert, when they're carrying it. That's how they're supposed to do it. But that was his mess up. He should have had people carrying it, then this never would have happened, because the whole problem was Kisham Tua Bakar. Okay, it's basically looking very carefully at that pasuk, that what caused Uzzah to do it? Kisham Tua Bakar. Who was really responsible for that? David. Okay, this also, by the way, is showing, if you think about it, in terms of the Masechet, where does the responsibility lie, right? In other words, and we talked about in the very beginning of the Masechet that maybe part of this is also not just against the wife, but against the husband, to make sure that we don't get into the situation where we have a sota. And that sometimes the ultimate responsibility, you might be the victim, like Uzzah was the one who died for it, but David was also somewhat responsible because he caused the whole scenario to happen. And it could be also with the wife and the husband. Sometimes the way the husband treats the wife or deals with the marriage could cause the woman to be a sota. And that, you know, it's all, there's background to it. It's not just, you don't look at the event without looking at the context. Vayachban she Beit Shemesh, ki ra'u ba'aron. Okay, now we're going back to when the people who were the Aron was in Beit Shemesh had killed all these people. Okay, because they saw the Aron. So now they say, what do you mean? Mishum de ra'u vayach? They got killed because they looked at the Aron? That seems strange. Rabbi Aval or Rabbi Elazar. Okay, there's a machloka between the two of them. We don't know who said what. Chanamar kutsrinu mishtachavinayu. Okay, they were doing their work right in front of the Aron. They were disgracing it. You know, they weren't treating it with kavod. V'chanamar mile nami amor. Right, Rashi says, by the way, kotrinim shachavim, that lo bitlumi melachtam lechabdo. Okay, that they didn't stop their work in order to have respect, to show respect for it. And other people say, the mile nami amor, that they said disrespectful words. And this is what they said. Man amarecha damriat, uman ata alecha di faisat. The people said to the Aron, who got you angry that you went to put yourself in captivity, okay, that you let yourself, right? If you think about it, if the Aron is all powerful, how did it get captured? So they were saying against the Aron, how did you let yourself get captured? What did, you know, what got you so angry? And who is going to be able to be mefayes otcha, you know, to appease you so that you'll now come back to us, okay? Which was sort of disrespect for the Aron, like it's all the Aron's fault. And it's not looking, also, what's this really doing? It's putting the blame on the Aron and not on themselves and looking internally to see why we get to this situation. Vayach ba'am shiv'im ish, v'chamishim elef ish. Okay, now we have a problem because the pasuk says something very strange. Okay, so the whole pasuk reads like this. It's Shmuel Aleph, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yutet. If you have the Torah, or it's the Aleph on the page. Vayachban shei Beit Shemesh ki ra'u ba'aron Hashem. So that we explain now. Either, right, they said disrespectful things to the Aron, or they were doing work next to the Aron and not giving respect to the Aron. Vayach ba'am shiv'im ish, chamishim elef ish. That doesn't make any sense. They killed 70 people, and then 50,000 people. It's either 70 or it's 50, right? I'm sorry, right, yeah, 50,000. So what's the story?
Can it be 50,000 and 70? I mean, I'll
it could be 57,000, you're saying. 500, it would be 57,000.
No,
50,000 and 70.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense, right? It would only make sense if it was shiv'a ish v'chamishim elef ish. Then you would say it would be 57,000 or something, like yimei chayei sarah, right? Like, but it's not. It's 50 and it's 70. So those are two numbers that don't combine together. They're two, right? They're both in the tens. It doesn't make any sense. Well, no, it's not true. No, I'm sorry.
It's just because
it would be 50,000 and 70, right? No, it would work. It would be 50,000 and 70 people, right? So anyway, what they want to do is they want to darshan. It also says ish in the middle. It says ish in the middle, which also, it's generally also not written in the Nevi'im like this. Maybe in the Torah I would sometimes say that. But it would generally say shiv'im v'chamishim elef, you know, it wouldn't say it like that exactly. So anyway, this is what they're going to darshan. Chad amar shiv'im ish hayu, v'chol echa v'echad shakul k'chamishim elef. They were 70 important people, which fits in with 70 is always this number of importance, right? There's this Shivim Zkenim, there's this, right, the Sanhedrin, it's Shivim Bechad, but, you know, it was only that you need the one so that it would be an uneven number. The Shivim, there's Shivim Nefesh or Dumitzrayma, there's Shivim Lashon, right? There were 70 languages, which actually is going to connect with our, we'll see soon about, we're talking about the 70 languages that they wrote the Torah on the Avanim that we saw the other day. So now they're saying each of them were as important as 70, and here they're going to make reference to the Sanhedrin. As kol echad v'echad shakul kishivim Sanhedrin. Okay, I'm sorry. V'chad amar chamishim elef hayu. They were really 50,000, but kol echad v'echad shakul kishivim Sanhedrin. In other words, each of the 50,000 were each as important as the 70 people that sat in the Sanhedrin. Here they're saying 70 of Sanhedrin, which is interesting because it's really 71. Vayehi kol tzadon nosei aron Hashem shisha tzadim. Okay, it says, right, now we're going to see a contradiction between, if you know this, Sefer Melachim gives, Sefer Shmuel and Melachim give one account of history, and then these Divrei Yamim, which often tell similar stories with a bit of a difference. So now it says they would take six steps, Vayizbach Shur Umari, and every six steps they took, they would sacrifice animals. Uktiv, Shiv'a Parim v'Shiv'a Ilim. And then it says in Divrei Yamim, it says that when they would carry the Aron, they sacrificed seven Parim and seven Elim. So how does that work? Did they do every six steps a Shur Mari, or did they do these seven Parim and seven Elim? What's the story? Amar Papa Bar Shmuel, Al Kol Psiah Psiah Shur Mari. Every step, they brought a Shur Mari. Val Kol Shesh V'Shesh Psiot, Shiv'a Parim V'Shiv'a Elim. And then every six steps, they did the seven Parim and the seven Elim. So Amar Le Rav Chista, Imkei Militat Kol Eretz Yisrael Bamot. Like, they're taking this trek, right? And every 2 seconds they've got sacrifices going. It doesn't make any sense. Ela Amar Rav Chista, Al Kol Shesh V'Shesh Psiot Shur Mari, Al Kol Shisha Starim Shal Shesh Psiot Shiv'a Parim V'Shiv'a Elim. Okay, they want to make it less. So they say, no, every six psiot, which makes more sense, actually, because the pasuk about the Shur Mari said, every shesh psiot, right? So every six steps they did that, and then every time they did six of those, then they did the seven parim and the seven elim. Now, it's still a lot, okay, however you look at it. K'tiv kidon uk'tiv nachon. Okay, now here they say, they went to Goren Kidon, that's in Divrei Yamim, and it says in Shmuel Bet, Vayavo agoren nachon. Okay, where exactly this thing happened with Uzzah, it's, they're both in, say, Vayishlach Uzzah. In other words, both say that what Uzzah did happen in a different place. One said Kidon, one said Nachon. Kidon is a javelin, okay? And Nachon means Nachon, like right or, you know, in the right place. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bitchila Kidon ulevasof Nachon. Now, first he started with a javelin, okay? In other words, it caused, right, the whole thing of the Aron caused a big mess. And in the end, It was Nachon, because in the end it ended up in a safe place. Remember, they take it to Obed Edom HaGiti, right? So they put it in his house and it becomes in a safe haven. So it started off bad, but it ended up okay. Nimseit Ataomer, Shlosha Mineh Banim Hayu. Okay, now we keep jumping from topic to topic. Now we're going back to the stones. Remember the rocks in Yoshua. So they crossed through the Yarden. We said there were two sets of rocks. There were the 12 rocks that ended up getting put on the floor where the Kohanim stood in the Jordan River, to remember. And one set they brought with them to Gilgal where they slept, and they made a matseva in Gilgal. So now they're going to say all of a sudden there were three types of avanim. What are the three? Echad sheikim Moshe be'eretz Moav. Apparently Moshe set up rocks also in Moav. What was that? Shenamar. Be'ever Haridim, by the way, just about these stones. I remember I went to Bar Ilan and I was in the Tanakh department. I had to take this test on Bekiya Tanakh. And I remember that one of the questions I messed up on was, where are all the places there are stones in Sefer Yoshua? It was like one of those Bekiya things of, you know, you have to know where all the stones are. They're clearly very important. And at that point in my life, I didn't know them. Okay. Anyway, I knew maybe some, but not all. Anyway, so here we have the Shlosha Mineh Avanim. Sheikim Moshe be'eretz Moav. Shenemar be'eber ha'yardein be'eretz Moav ho'il Moshe be'er. Okay, remember in Eretz Moav, Moshe explained the Torah, right? It uses that word be'er. Where did we see that word before? We saw it just 2 days ago. I think it was two. Ulahalan hu'omer v'katav ta'alehen et kol divrei ha'Torah hazo. Remember, they're supposed to take the stones and write on them the Torah. And what does it say there? Be'er heitev. That's where they learned. What did they do? They wrote the Torah. Remember, we had a discussion about what part of the Torah they wrote. They wrote the Torah on these stones when they got into the land, and they wrote it in 70 languages. Okay, we're going to talk soon about this 70 languages, and it was for people to read and understand. But now they're saying, Ate Be'er Be'er. Okay, so we learned from the Be'er Heitev that was written on Ra, on stones. Also, when it says, Moshe Be'eret Kol HaTorah Be'eretz Moav, he also had stones. Ula Halan Hu Omer, Be'katav Talehen Kol Divrei HaTorah Hazot. Sorry, I read that. Okay, that's the first one. So Moshe in Moab. V'achad shikim Yoshua b'toch ha'yardein, one that Yoshua puts up in the Jordan, sh'nemar, this is just review, sh'tem asre avanim hikim Yoshua b'toch ha'yardein, right, Yoshua puts them in the Yarden. V'achad shikim v'gilgal, and the other one that they brought to Gilgal, sh'nemar, v'etshtem asre avanim ha'el asher lakhu v'gom. Tanu Rabbanan, ketzad katvu Yisrael et ha'torah. Now we want to understand, how did they do it? How did they write it on these stones? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, al gabe avanim ketuvah, was written on the stones, shenemar, v'katavta al avanim et kol divrei ha'torah hazot, v'chulei, b'achar kach sadu otam b'sid. And then they put this limestone on it. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon, lidverecha, he'ach lamdu umot shol kol oto hazman Torah. If you're going to cover it with limestone, so no one's going to be able to read what's underneath. So how are you going to be able how were the umot supposed to read what they wrote on these stones? So Amar lo bina yitera tam behem hakadosh baruch hu v'shigru notirin shalahem v'kilpu atasid v'siyua. Okay, so God gave them an extra special ability, okay, a knowledge that they, right, so now the explanation is that their sofrim basically undid the seed, okay, in order to get the Torah. Okay, and then they were able to kind of copy it from there, from the ketav that was on the avanim. Okay, that was what they were supposed to do. And then they say, Va'al davar zeh nitchatem gzar dinam lebe'er shachat. Shayalahem lamo v'lo lamdu. In other words, their sofrim took it and made it in a way that they could see it, and yet they didn't do it. And that's why they got destroyed, because they should have learned from the Torah, and they didn't. That's one interpretation. Rabbi Shimon Omer, al gabei seed katvua. Really, they did the seed first. First they put the limestone, and then they wrote in the limestone. V'chatvu lahen lamata, leman asher lo yimudu etchem la'asot kechol. Okay, what is this pasuk? You know what it is? It's in order that you don't learn to do kechol to'evotam asher su le'elohehem. Right, they wrote at the bottom, don't learn to do like the goyim do, which was what? A warning to the goyim that what you're doing, right, it's like a, instead of direct warning to them, it's basically telling them, well, read this and see that you're not supposed to do, like, you know, the way you're behaving is not appropriate. Halamadita shema yu chozrim b'tshuva hayu mekablin otan. What was the point of writing it? It was to say, it's like a big sign saying, we can't do like you, but if you change your ways, then we'll be able to live with you and we won't need to conquer you. Okay? And therefore, it had to be noticeable, so they didn't cover it with seed. Right? And as one saying is, it wasn't noticeable, the goyim made the effort to read it, and yet their people didn't take lesson from it, right? They didn't learn it. The other is saying they put it as like a big sign so everyone would notice it to say, that kind of maybe even justifying their actions and saying, we wouldn't have to do this if you would change your ways. Amar Rabbi Barshila, my time unto Rabbi Shimon. Why did Rabbi Shimon say what he said about the, you know, it was covered? Dichtiv, v'hayu amim, misarfot, right? Misrifot seed. Okay, seed is with a sin here, but it really means with a samach. Okay, they quote in the Gemara with a samach. The actual pasuk appears with a sin. Okay, if you look down below at the Torah Or, it says, v'hayu amim misrifot seed, kotzim kesuchim ba'esh yitzatu. So why seed? Why are they burning from seed? Al iske seed, because of the seed. That's why the goyim are burning, because they didn't, right? They didn't change their ways from what was written in the seed, what was covered with the seed. Rabbi Yehuda says, ki seed, ma seed ein lo takana el asrefa, af otam kutim ein lam takana el asrefa. Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't darshan that, says, it was like the seed. In other words, they were burnt like seed. Since seed, the only way you can deal with it, get rid of it, is to burn it. Also then, the only way they can be fixed is by burning. Okay, we're going to stop here for today. We'll finish up tomorrow.
It's really burning, so.
Yeah. Right, so what does it mean? Ein lo takana elav? Right, I was trying to figure out what that means, that they can't be fixed. Maybe it doesn't mean...
Where were these stones?
One second. Mr. Fotsid, ein lo takana. Right, the way you... I guess they're saying the way you prepare it is by burning it. That's how they explain it. That there's so here it says shesofim avnei gir. That's the way you prepare it, by burning it. Not that it can be burned. It's that's with fire is how you prepare it and get it to work. So also then the only way to fix them is by burning them. It sounds like those klei cheres that you can't ever fix them. You have to just break them. So yeah.